And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky, 71 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly sunny with scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly during the afternoon, a high around 84. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Authorities in Red Oak report the arrest Friday afternoon of a local woman wanted on an active warrant. Officers with the Red Oak Police Department, along with assistance from deputies of the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, arrested 27-year-old Megan Reynolds of Red Oak. Reynolds, who was taken into custody at 1401 Eastern Avenue, was wanted for allegedly violating the terms of her probation. She was brought to Montgomery County Jail and held on $10,000 bond. A Southwest Iowa high school teacher who was placed on leave earlier this month is accused of having sex with a student. Radio Iowa's Pat Curtis reports.
Russell Crouch was placed on administrative leave from the Glenwood Community School District on May 19th. School officials refused to release any more information at the time, saying it was a personnel matter. The 38-year-old Crouch resigned 2 days later. A release from the Mills County Attorney's Office states Crouch was arrested Friday and charged with sexual exploitation by a school employee and supplying alcohol to a minor. The sexual exploitation charge is punishable by up to 2 years in prison and or a maximum fine of $6,250. Crouch, a social studies and communications teacher who'd been with the district since 2006, is accused of having a sexual relationship with a student who attended Glenwood High School. Investigators say he bought the alcohol for a different student. I'm Pat Curtis.
Iowa Governor Terry Branstad has signed a bill into law that will end greyhound dog racing in Council Bluffs by 2016. Branstad's office says the governor signed the bill on Friday, along with more than a dozen other bills. The measure will end greyhound racing in Council Bluffs, but allow dog owners to continue operating a track in Dubuque. It requires casinos that have long subsidized the dog racing tracks to pay $72 million. That will pay for a retirement fund for dog owners and breeders and help the Iowa City of the Iowa Greyhound Association negotiate a lease for the Dubuque track. Branstad signed five bills publicly on Friday, including legislation that legalizes the use of cannabis oil to treat severe epilepsy. Workers are reinstalling a historic fountain in downtown Council Bluffs after a renovation by an Alabama company. The Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil reports workers began installing the 120-year-old Broadway fountain on Thursday and hope to have it finished soon. Crews must complete the plumbing work before the water begins flowing through the fountain. The City Council awarded a nearly $100,000 contract to Anderson Construction Company to oversee the project. Alexander City, Alabama-based Robinson Iron reattached pieces of the fountain that broke free, cast some new pieces, and painted the fountain. Council Bluffs Parks Director Larry Foster says it looks largely the same as before the work, but that is what restoration is supposed to be. The fountain was originally in Bayless Park, but was moved later to West Broadway and Pearl Street. The Iowa National Guard says it will host a rededication ceremony this coming week in Council Bluffs, commemorating the completed renovation of the Council Bluffs Readiness Center and Field Maintenance Shop, or FMS No. 4. The ceremony will take place on Friday, June the 6th at 11 a.m. at the RCFMS, located at 2415 East Canesville Boulevard in Council Bluffs. Iowa National Guard leadership and representatives from federal, state, and local governments will participate in the ceremony. The public are as welcome to attend as well. The $4.5 million project began in October of 2012 and features a complete renovation of both original facilities, which were constructed in 1993. It includes a renovation of 22,300 square feet of existing Readiness Center facility space and the conversion of 12,000 square feet of the adjoining motor vehicle storage building to Readiness Center space. The existing facility also received new ceilings, wall and floor coverings, energy-efficient heating, ventilation and air conditioning, or HVAC systems, and windows. The field maintenance shop received an additional 4,000 square feet of space, including work bays, radiant heat, and air equipment. New storm sewer, fencing, windows, and new HVAC were also added to that structure. The facility exterior and parking were also updated. The project was designed by Design Alliance Incorporated out of Waukee. The general contractor for the Readiness Center was Miko Henny Contracting Incorporated of Omaha, and the general contractor for the FMS was Luter Construction Company out of Omaha. The Council Bluffs Readiness Center is home to Detachment 1, Company F, 334th Brigade Support Battalion, FSC, Headquarters and Headquarters Company, 1st Battalion, 168th Infantry, Detachment 1, Company B, the 1st Battalion, 168th Infantry, and Company D, Iowa Army National Guard Recruitment Sustainment Program. About 250 soldiers are assigned to the Council Bluffs Garrison. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey on Friday announced that five watershed demonstration projects have been selected to receive $1.5 million, make that $1.7 million actually, in funding through the Iowa Water Quality Initiative over the next 3 years. In addition to the state funds, the eight projects will provide an additional $2.2 million in matching funds to support water quality improvement efforts, as well as other in-kind contributions. The five projects are within the large priority watersheds prioritized by the Iowa Water Resources Coordinating Council, and they include the East and West Nishnabotna Rivers, Floyd, and Skunk watersheds. Locally, the Bluegrass and Crabapple East Nishnabotna Watershed Project will receive a $325,000 grant toward a $1.2 million project, where the Ottoman Soil and Water Conservation District, or SWCD, will expand on existing partnerships and foster a peer-to-peer network to help promote and spread adoption of nutrient reduction practices in the bluegrass and crabapple watersheds. An advisory group made up of partners and farmers has helped develop the project and help shape watershed-wide demonstrations. Also, the Walnut Creek Watershed Project, sub-watershed of the Nishnabotna River Water Quality Initiative, or WQI, will receive a $480,000 grant toward a $1.082 million project cost to build a network of producers, local agribusiness representatives, and agencies to promote and demonstrate conservation practices detailed in the nutrient reduction strategy. The partnerships led by the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District will ensure the best information is used to help present a regional focus on management and implementation of the practices. In all, the demonstration watersheds selected cover 345,449 acres. The projects will implement and demonstrate the effectiveness and adaptability of a host of conservation practices, including but not limited to cover crops, nutrient management, wetlands, terraces, bioreactors, buffer strips, no-till, strip-till, nitrogen inhibitors, extended rotations, conservation cover, drainage water management, and manure management. Another round of funding for new watershed demonstration projects may be available later this year, depending on funding availability. Officials with MidAmerican Energy said Friday that tree maintenance crews have been working to maintain vegetation around the company's facilities throughout its service territory, including locally those in Avoca, Charter Oak, Clarinda, and Council Bluffs. MidAmerican Energy contracts with companies that specialize in tree trimming to perform the work, and crews are supervised by the International Society of Arboriculture, that is, certified arborists. Customers are notified by mail about 3 weeks before the services are scheduled in their neighborhood, and there is no service charge assessed to perform the work. MidAmerican says fallen trees or debris from trees cause 7-10% of electric outages and create hazardous situations when they knock down electrical poles and wires. The trees must be pruned and removed to alleviate safety standards, or hazards, that is, and improve the service reliability. Well, a man who served in the Air Force, worked in the Pentagon, has been involved in the business industry, and currently serves as a college professor along with being a radio talk show host. He is hoping that all that experience will translate into a seat on the U.S. Senate. 64-year-old Sam Clovis, an Iowa Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate seat being left vacant by the retirement of Tom Harkin, is a constitutional conservative and professor at Morningside College in Sioux City. He's one of five Republicans who hope to win the June 3rd primary and square off against Democrat Bruce Braley, a congressman from Waterloo. In a televised debate this past Thursday, Clovis described himself as the only candidate with national security experience, and he touted his current role as an economics professor. He said in an interview with KJAN News, "The recent debate was an eye-opener for many people and gave a boost to his campaign."
I think a lot of people have been really not much interested in politics and a little bit of hangover from 2012, but we're starting to see that perk up. We're starting to see the interest again, and I think the debate was a classic example of people who were undecided, watched the debate, and we're starting to get a lot of buzz from that. And we're very happy with the results of that, because the consensus is that we won, and we won going away.
Clovis has campaigned on three main issues: tax reform, a balanced budget amendment, and the elimination of baseline budgeting. He's a 25-year veteran of the Air Force. His brother is also a veteran. Clovis says he's upset about a report that described the chronic wait times at the Phoenix VA hospital and found that about 1,700 veterans in need of care were at risk of being lost or forgotten. He says the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, is one of the culprits behind the whole situation.
We had a lot of unfortunate episodes with the VA, so this is very personal to me. And so I would really like to see fundamental reform. I think also, if you look at the VA and the system of medical care that you have there, that's really a microcosm and a view into the future of what we're probably going to expect under the Affordable Care Act. This is probably the number one topic that we hear on the campaign trail is how do we fix this Obamacare thing?
Clovis says as much as he'd like for Obamacare to be repealed, it likely won't happen when the next Congress is in session. He says the door remains open, however, for reform of the current system.
Let's go in there and offer him solutions that do increase coverage, that do lower cost, that do take care of price transparency, that do take care of some of the antitrust issues that we have involved in this, and get away from the rationing aspects of this and put the patient and doctor closer together.
He says they should take a concentrated effort at repealing portions of the health care bill and not the whole thing.
What you need to do is to take this bill apart, the legislation apart, go after piece by piece, and then what's left, repeal. That is the approach that has to be taken, and I don't think there's any question that we have people smart enough to figure this out. I hope so. I mean, not a single Republican vote was cast for this legislation, and I do think we're going to be able to pick up Democrats to help us with these modifications and changes. And then once we get through fixing the big pieces here to accomplish the goals that are set out, then we can then go back and repeal the rest of the law.
With regard to the VA scandal, the VA and independent investigators with the Office of Inspector General are still in the process of uncovering problems at dozens of other VA facilities around the country, while lawmakers are calling for criminal probes. On Friday, Veterans Administration Secretary Eric Shinseki resigned from his post. Before the news came out about Shinseki's resignation, though, Clovis said he hoped the man wouldn't quit. He wanted him instead to stay and stew in his own juices.
He can retreat behind his lawyers and we'll be forced to grant him immunity if anything were to come about where we have to pursue any charges or investigations. He's not nearly as closely compelled to go back to Congress and answer for that.
That's a check of the news and on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.